I don't know about the boys back in town.
I was just going to say, Jenna's back in town.
Yeah, maybe I should have changed that. What a morning. I don't identify as a boy.
You could have knocked me down when I walked in here. There's Jenna. I said, this is Back to the Future. This is great stuff.
Good morning, and good morning to you, Mike. And thank you for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning. You can text in this morning, 850-437-1620. It's Tuesday morning here on The Garden Line. How have you been?
I've been great. I've been just great. And how have you been? We've missed you here.
Well, we are good. Everything is
so
good.
Glad.
It's an adjustment.
That is great. Oh, sure.
But somebody decided to ask me the other day some gardening questions. They were like, "Oh, I know you're not doing the show, but I got to ask you." And guess what? I knew the answer.
I was just going to say, I know you knew the answer. Absolutely.
It was lime. I just was really excited about that.
I was going to say, let's... fun topic.
Exactly. I just threw it out there. I ended up looking it up later, like, whew, I'm sweating. I hope I just didn't kill their plant.
Exactly.
You know, just call us on Tuesday. So, yes, you can call or text us this morning with your questions at 437-1620. And you can't deny this beautiful weather.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And we have said this before, Jenna, that our plants – enjoy this easing into spring, easing into summer, if you will, with these temperatures. It's really been delightful. The hot weather's coming, and I don't object to that. I've always kind of liked the hot summer. But for now, it is really, really pleasant. And if you're going to get out and dig in the dirt, this is the time to do it. It's just perfect.
Oh, yeah. Afternoon, evening. Yeah. This is the weather to really get out there, cultivate life. I mean, I'm telling you can't really ask for anything better.
Exactly. As I walk my neighborhood, there are a couple of plants that I'm watching. Number one, and I think I mentioned this last week, I'm not sure if I did or not, the agapanthus, the lily of the Nile, the ones that are nice, low-growing, green foliage. And this year they send up, or every year they send up the big stalk with the blue blossom. They're everywhere, and they're blooming.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely blooming. I thought it was a little bit early, but they came up so fast, and it just looked beautiful. I just think they're great. It is a true perennial. After I cut mine back, because I thought they were dead, and it was kind of an herbaceous type plant, I said, well, I'm just going to whack them back to the ground, see what happens. Dig them up, plant some more, and lo and behold, they have come on strong with beautiful foliage and right now beautiful blooms. It's great.
And I don't know if anybody else can testify to this, and if you'd like to, just hit us up in the text line at 437-1620 here at News Radio 92.3. But some of the things that died off or like died back, I don't want to say died off, but died back during our really intense freeze at Christmas, I am now starting to see some life come to the plants,
right?
I don't know if you're seeing it.
Oh, I've seen it everywhere. Okay, and here's one of our favorite topics. We don't have to get down into the weeds. Well, that's, I didn't mean to put it that way. But insofar as caladiums, if you and I for years have talked about, okay, it's Pensacola, you order your caladiums from Lake Placid, Florida, you plant them, it takes them a while to come up, usually May, early June. You enjoy them till Labor Day. They keel over. You cut them back. You dig them up, and you save them.
Right.
For the next year. Great. Okay. My caladiums, I bought them to plant this year. Now, I didn't dig up the ones last year. I just was going to let them rot in the ground. Jenna, they are prettier than they were last year, and it's the ones from last year. They went through the winter and have come up and look absolutely gorgeous. That's kind of unusual. Very
I wonder,
unusual.
Just it was one of those things, you let it be and it just does its thing.
Well, that could be. You know, I've done that for years, but
did
usually
you add
I have to
anything in that area? No.
All right. Where it is, it's kind of a dry area. My sprinkler system doesn't get it. I have to kind of hand water it. So I'm wondering if just because it was sort of dry and we only had that really one hard freeze when we went to 19 degrees, maybe that has something to do with it. But they are up and going crazy. It's really, really great. And so I have planted the caladiums that I ordered from Lake Placid in these big pots, and we'll put them on my patio after they come up.
You gave me some, and I have them on the back patio as well, just waiting for their arrival. And I think it's a great thing. I do have to say, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, an auntie, uncle, whatever, and you've got kiddos around, they like to go and check the plants here. I think it's a really interesting thing. But me and the squirrels are going to have words if they don't stop digging. I'm just going to say, right?
You've got to have a strong conversation with them. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. We won't do an armadillo talk kind of thing. But me and the squirrels,
well,
definitely.
Welcome back, Jenna. The armadillos are here.
You know, I saw one the other day, and I thought.
Oh, did you really? In your yard?
Is this a wink in the neighborhood?
Did you?
Out on a bike ride, and I thought, this is a wink from God, from Mike Wiggins, that little armadillo, that hairy, crusted
ugliest
friend.
Thing on earth. Unbelievable.
If you don't get the armadillo story, we'll tell you later. If you'd like to text in and ask a question, though, 850-437-1620. Let me hit a question here in our text line. Feel free to call as well. Again, 437-1620. Good morning. Love your program. What type of peach tree is best for Northwest Florida, Pensacola area?
I think there's one called, well, two things you have to keep in mind. One, you've got to get a peach tree from somebody, from a nurseryman that knows what they're doing. And there are a lot of them here in Pensacola. You've got to have a peach tree that will take the number of chill hours we have in Pensacola. That's temperatures, below 45 or so. And we get 300 or so of those chill hours. Some of these fruit trees take 1,000. Like, you want to buy a red apple, red delicious, like you buy at Publix? No, it's not gonna do here. But on the peach tree, there's one called Florida Gold that is an old-fashioned, I say old-fashioned, it's been around a long time, a peach tree. But the important thing is to talk to your nurseryman and plant a peach tree that only takes the amount of chill, that will produce with the amount of chill hours we have here in Escambia County. And that's probably more important than variety. You just need to get one that's going to produce. You don't want one that's going to take 700-800 chill hours and never have any peaches. So that's what I would do. But look into Florida Gold. That's a good one.
Excellent suggestion right there. I went ahead and text a little link so you can kind of look up that type of peach tree. Also, kind of a little bit of a push as well. You know, I love shopping local. I also love our local markets. There is a plant seller, botanist, who is at the Palafox Market, and I'm trying to remember, down towards Garden,
mm-hmm.
in the Palafox Market.
Right.
If you are heading south, he'll be on the right-hand side. He sells blueberry bushes, peach trees.
Really?
Yes. I suggest, especially somebody like that who is a grower, uh-huh. cultivator, yeah. go on down and talk to them. I believe there's a man and a woman who's there. I can't remember off the top of my head. Definitely a guy there. Go down and talk to him. He'll be able to help you as well.
Sure.
A lot of them are, if they're not in Pensacola, then they're in Lower Alabama as well, which is the similar area, similar topography than as us, right?
Oh, there's no question. And of course, that's a huge agricultural area.
Oh, they love it. Have you ever passed that big nursery on I-10?
Oh, yeah.
On the way out?
Yeah, that nursery is called Flowerwood Nursery. And they are huge. They sell to all the markets. They sell a lot, I understand, like to the Atlanta market.
Whoa.
A lot of the ornamentals, you know, hollies, boxwoods, ligustrum, all the landscaping plants. They've been doing it for years and years and years, and they have got it down to a science. They are very high tech.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a hike maybe for you, but there's another suggestion. Or head to Bailey's, head to Pensacola Seed and Garden. Just go ahead and ask our local friends here too as well. And hey, it's 9:15. I see another question coming in alongside a picture. Let's take a break so I can go ahead and show Mike the picture, and we will get to your question. If you have one coming in, you can just hold on just a second. I see good morning to you, 850-437-1620. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. And we're back here on the Garden Line. Good morning to you. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Joining me for the Garden Line is our friend Mike Wiggins, here to answer all your gardening questions. or to help diagnose your pictures, which we did during the commercial break.
We did. We did. And I think the picture of the plant.
The purple angel trumpet.
Purple angel trumpet.
I don't know. That was my best trumpet.
Very
I apologize.
Good. Very good. I think it's plant shock. I think the person who texted us said they bought it at the Pensacola State College PSC on plant sale, which is great. Great. You have some great stuff there. I've been there before. It's just great. However, sometimes you don't know when you buy a plant like that from, say, someone who is not a nursery grower. You don't know where it was grown. Was it grown in full sun? Was it grown in full shade? Was it just replanted into another pot so it could be sold? Because once you put it in your nice, beautiful covered patio, you're going to go experience plant shock. And many times that can be disastrous for a plant. What I would do to the person who texted us, considering what it looks like, I would move it to more sun. Because we're not dealing with a disease. We're not dealing with insect. It's strictly environmental. I would keep it watered. Keep it watered very well in case it had just been repotted. And I would move it out to more sun to see if it doesn't start to recover. But sometimes you just don't know where how these plants have been grown and handled before you bought them. Now, when you buy them from a nursery, generally they have come, either the nursery has grown it themselves or it's come from a wholesale grower who, once again, they know what they're doing. They're very high-tech nowadays, and you don't have to deal with that. But always consider where a plant has been and where it should go.
Yeah, and Andrea, thank you for texting that in and giving such great pictures. She did recently transplant it, and it has a little bit of a white substance as well.
Right.
So definitely some water and sun.
I think so. I think that's what I would do.
And that's happened to me before, and I start to freak out, and then I'm afraid I killed it. And so I also talk nicely to the plant. It appreciates it. While you're actually feeding it and watering it, they definitely can hear our words. I'm not crazy.
No.
I mean, fully crazy, just slightly. So, but yeah, thank you for texting that in. Oh, she said she had it in full sun for a day, and then it she put it back on the patio. So yeah. I would still keep it in the sun.
Yes, yeah. I would. I think it may recover, may not. You never know, but I would certainly try that.
Okay. And then is there anything that she should feed it right now?
You know, I don't think I'd fertilize it. I would just continue watering. Be sure when she repotted it, I'm sure she did. I wouldn't repot it again, but be sure it's good quality potting soil. Be sure you have a hole. If you put it in a big pot, that there's drainage. Be sure there's some drainage there. And then put it in the sun and cross your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she'll be successful.
Oh, yeah. Drainage. Oh, I forgot about drainage.
Yeah, drainage is important.
And keep the garden line posted on that, Andrea. I really
please.
Wish you the best. Here's another question coming in to our text line, 850-437-1620. It's 923 here at News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning here with Mike Wiggins on the garden line. I finally gave up on my Meyer lemon tree and chopped it down because of the freeze. I planted a tangerine tree about chest high in its place. What do I need to do for it, and how many years before I see fruit from our friend Mike W?
Oh, I think you'll see some production, maybe in a couple of seasons, I think, for sure. I think you'll probably see some productions. It's really sad about the Meyer lemons and some of the limes also. All the books will tell you that 20 degrees is sort of the limit where, you know, they may recover after that freeze. We hit 19, and a lot of people have lost some of the lemons and limes. A lot of the other citrus has recovered, but lemons and limes, and yours may have, depending on where it is and if it was protected at all. But, yes, it's sad the way that has happened. Now, what I would do is be sure you keep it watered. That's the key right there. Keep it watered. When we get hot and we dry out, which we're going to, just don't neglect your irrigation. And a little bit of fruit tree fertilizer, maybe a lower nitrogen, higher phosphate. Let me just throw out a formula for you, 4-12-12 which would help that root structure of that plant become stronger. And the nitrogen wouldn't be so much that you might burn it a little bit. So a lower nitrogen fertilizer, a fruit tree fertilizer, and I wouldn't overdo that. Maybe do it now, then maybe midsummer, then maybe in the fall. But that's what I would do.
Okay, excellent. And best of luck to you as well, Mike. Thank you for texting in Mike W to Mike W.
Yes,
look at that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike W.
I loved it. A couple more texts here. Actually, let's take another break while I read through some of the texts coming into our text line at 850-437-1620. Hang tight. I promise we'll get to you. Got to stay on time here. It's 925 here. Everybody, good morning. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning. You are listening to News Radio 92.3, and this is The Garden Line. Mike will be here till 10. After 10, we'll be joined by our friends from the Sanger Theater.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They've got a big one coming this weekend.
And Pensacola Opera.
Right.
Two big ones back to back. And so we've got a jam-packed fun show today, and I love both of our friends from Sanger Theater. You know Kathy.
Yes.
You know Kathy.
Oh, yes. They do a great
her. I was just there for
She's amazing.
A show a couple weeks ago, or a concert evening. It was beautiful. All the time. You just sit in there, you're mesmerized. So
we take. I'm real quick.
Yeah, tell me.
Editorial comment. We take some of this for granted sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
The arts
yeah.
and culture we have in Pensacola with, as you just said, the opera, the Sanger, just so many things that make us a great city. And hope people enjoy it because they've got a big weekend coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And we will share more about that coming up next hour here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Again, if you'd like to text in, 437-1620. Our friend here says that they found out that their lawn needs lime. Lawn needs lime. So does it matter what time of year we put that on? How about now?
No. Right now. However, there are a few qualifiers. When we come back, we'll talk about that.
Excellent. So squeeze in those questions. We've got about four or five more coming in here to our text line here at News Radio 92.3. Stay tuned, though. We will answer your questions right after we take a Fox News break, followed by David Wayne in our newsroom. Again, you're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I wonder who. Who wrote the book of love?
Tell me, oh, who wrote the book of love? I've got to know the answer.
Welcome back. It's 9:37. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning, here with Mike Wiggins to answer your questions on The Garden Line. So text them in, 850-437-1620. Tell me more about the lime on the lawn.
Yes, the lime on the lawn. Yes, if you have St. Augustine grass, yes, lime is generally a requirement. If you want to know precisely if you need it or not, you have to get a soil test. But like we've always said on The Garden Line, so many of us don't have time to mess with a soil mm-hmm. test. So I would put it on every other year, at least every third year. And you have to put it on a little heavy, about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And you need to use dolomite lime. That's the key word, dolomite lime. That's a granular material that you put out with your fertilizer spreader. And that's what you need to do. Then you need to water it in. The other little rule that we've talked about on The Garden Line a lot is you may be wanting to fertilize your yard kind of at the same time. Well, don't do that. At least give it 2 weeks between the application of lime and the application of fertilizer, because somehow they kind of tie themselves up chemically. But yes, St. Augustine grass, you need to lime. Centipede, don't do it. It doesn't need it. And all of that is because of the pH of our soil. We have kind of a low pH here in Escambia County. And for St. Augustine, likes a neutral pH. So that lime is generally sweetening the soil. Kind of that's just one way to put it. But centipede likes slightly acid soil. That's why we don't do it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that clarification and for your question at 437-1620. Our friend Ashlyn texted in. She took our advice back in the fall and hung her caladiums in some pantyhoses. It's always a good day when I get to say pantyhose on air. You never know. And she did say they're just hanging out in the shed. They're ready to plant. So do she need to do anything for prepping?
No. Really, you don't need to do anything.
Okay.
Just if you're going to plant caladium bulbs, and they're ready, it's time to plant them right now. No question about it. And so what I would do, though, is you got to look at them real close. I wish I had one. I wish we could show them. There's a real smooth underside to the caladium. Then there's kind of a rough topside where the foliage comes. So be careful that you plant it with that smooth side down.
Okay, smooth side down.
Now, Southern Living had an article one time that said, you really want to grow good caladiums? Plant them on their side. I said, well, really? I've never done that. But just interesting. So I'm not sure it makes that much difference. I would prefer not to plant them upside down, but you may want to try a few on their side just to see how they do. But go ahead and plant them. I like to plant them, you know, about 2.5 times the diameter of the bulb. If it's a smaller caladium, maybe plant it a little more shallow than you would a big jumbo one. But enjoy, because you plant them right now, they're going to come up probably in about 30 days or so. But one thing interesting about caladiums, I'll never forget back when we were selling caladiums. This is the time of year we would sell them and people plant them and enjoy them. But we had a big caladium sale in July. The guy who sold me caladiums back then had a big sale, big closeout. He was trying to get rid of them, and we sold them really cheap. But you put them in the ground in July when the soil is really warm, or they will jump up. They will jump up. And at least you can enjoy them for a couple of months. So,
that's awesome.
But plant them now so you can enjoy them all summer.
All summer. Exactly. I like it. Smooth side down. Don't forget that. Thank you so much for texting in. I did like the picture. The picture was my favorite, Ashlyn. Just love me some bulbs and pantyhose.
You know, we've talked about armadillos and pantyhose, Jenna. Welcome back.
Now we just need to put an armadillo and some pantyhose. All right. So we've got a question here coming in. I love it. This is from our friend, another friend named Mike, Mike A. So I'm going to guess, says Mike, that a hydrangea is a full sun shrub. I've been struggling with one for years now. And it only gets morning sun. So
I would try to put it in more sun if I could.
More sun.
More sun. Now, I think it will take semi-shade, if you will, a little bit of shade. But I think just morning sun probably is not enough. If you can give it into a little bit more sun, I think you'd be better off. I really do. My hydrangeas, which I have in a container, are coming back pretty strong. They really were. I really had some doubts whether I was even going to ever see them again. But I didn't prune them because I didn't want to prune them too late. And so we're going to see. They haven't bloomed, and I hope they will. But they're coming back okay. Not great, but okay.
They usually, I mean, it's still, we got some cool mornings here.
Exactly.
So they usually bloom come end of May, and then June, boom,
that's
July,
right.
They're
that's
hanging
exactly,
tight.
That's right.
So,
that's exactly right. But okay. Boy, that is a popular plant nowadays. I got them.
They're at weddings, everything.
I know it. I got my latest copy of them. Southern Living came in the mail.
Love it.
Every one you buy with Southern Living nowadays has got hydrangeas on the front of it.
I think it's awesome. And
it's
I will say, real quick with that, whenever I think of hydrangea, I think of the big white house that my grandparents lived in for a few short years in my childhood, and how wonderful it smelled when we pulled up in the drive and went to the front door, and hydrangeas just were surrounding the front windows, and it smelled like home. So whenever I smell that, it reminds me of those years and just playing outside in the grass. And this was in Pennsylvania, and up north, hydrangeas are a huge summer plant.
Right.
And they're used in weddings and everything. So it is really great, and it's wonderful to try to really fight for it too.
Oh, there's no question. One thing though, talking about real quick, talking about sun and shade and hydrangeas, your oak leaf hydrangeas, which are kind of a vining, that's probably the wrong word, but they'll grow up next to a fence, and they will take some shade, and they will give you the most gorgeous white blooms you have ever seen. So oak leaf hydrangea, which is different from your traditional hydrangea, but it's a great plant also.
Absolutely. everybody's chiming in. Love their hydrangeas. Hydrangeas do well in Indiana, so there shouldn't be a problem
right.
here. I get it. Like I said, Pennsylvania, they die off, they come back. Mm-hmm. They die off, they mm-hmm. come back. For us here, I don't know if the soil plays a part. I won't make a comment with that, but just hang tight on that hydrangea. And yes, getting an armadillo into pantyhose might be a bigger problem. It's 9:44.
Yeah, we do not need any more problems. No.
I will tell you, the things that we come up with, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you definitely make our mornings better. Good morning to you. And yes, thank you for sending in your good mornings to me. I am back for the day sitting in for Tammy Martin. Yes, it's me, Jenna Barr. Thank you for texting in. If you'd like to call in with your questions as well, feel free to do that. We've got a picture to get to. So let me show Mike a couple of the pictures here. We're going to take a quick break here at News Radio 92.3. Again, the number to text into the Garden Line is
850-437-1620. Breaking up is hard to do. Don't take your love away from me.
9:48. Good morning and welcome back to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr in for Tammy Martin this morning. Like I mentioned, coming up next hour, we'll have Sanger Theater and Pensacola Opera joining us here on Pep Talk. For now, Mike is here to answer your questions on the Garden Line. Also, thank you for texting in your pictures. Good morning, Catherine. Thank you for texting in all your gorgeous pictures. Your plants look lovely. Absolutely lovely. And also...
Time out real quick.
Yes.
Is that Catherine?
Catherine's here.
That's our Catherine?
Our Catherine.
I haven't heard from her in a while. Catherine, thank you for texting in and checking in with us. I was thinking about you the other day and just wanted to be sure you were doing okay in this springtime. So,
her amaryllis
thanks for
is
joining in.
Popping.
I'll bet they are.
It's popping.
Anyway, good to hear from you.
It's gorgeous, and that's my goal. Mine needs to look just like that forever. I've got to get to a question over here. I want to make sure I'm here for the day. Yes, for the morning here on Pep Talk. Thanks for joining in. Text in as well, 437-1620 with your questions. And Carolyn, you texted in about your jasmine. I'm waiting to hear a little bit more. So her jasmine was like...
Dead as a doornail.
I mean, that thing was in a coffin.
Gone. Dig it up. Haul it off.
This is a true testimony of why you should not just go ahead and give up and chop, right?
Right, exactly.
Because Carolyn brought a brown, decrepit, croaked jasmine to a green, I mean, it's pretty much lush.
Yeah, and it's huge. I mean, it's almost, what, 5-6 feet tall?
Yeah, the growth is amazing.
Obviously, the picture on the left is just brown leaves. And we've always said on the Garden Line, when a plant has brown leaves and they don't fall off, you got some real problems. Mm. When they fall off, that means the plant is trying to recover.
Yeah.
But hers were all still on there. But then the second picture... It's green again. It's just amazing.
Green and gorgeous.
It just, you're right, Jenna. You are so right. It just shows that patience sometimes pays off, especially after the weather event we had this winter.
Oh, absolutely. And I wonder, too, because that freeze, also know, being in direct wind with the freeze probably could have played a part as well, because I know some people texted in that a lot of the plants that we're talking about should have withheld the freeze. It's just probably wasn't covered properly. You never know what the position
exactly.
was
That's
or
right.
what the person could have done,
exactly.
right? But don't give up on it. Just keep trying with those hydrangeas, the jasmine, just keep trying. Meyer lemon, sorry, you got the axe. Tangerine's taking your place. That's from our text earlier. If you didn't catch that, you can catch this whole episode on our podcast page. Just check out the Garden Line at newsradio923.com or tune in on Saturday morning at 9 to catch the encore presentation of the Garden Line. Where can I get soil tested locally? I mean, the extension office still does it, right?
Exactly. You can do there. Let me tell you where else you might want to go. Our friends at Werner Turf have a real special soil test kit that you obviously get some of the soil and you send it off. and they send you back a report that is unbelievably extensive as far as information.
Like the lineage? On
your soil. Oh, everything. All you have to do is
Ancestry.com for your soil?
Yeah, who's the first cousin to your St. Augustine?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that armadillo was my cousin. All right, enough with the armadillo. He's going to push me out of the chair.
Welcome, Jenna. Welcome back.
Oh, boy. Wow. I just couldn't make a return without getting myself in trouble. I'm actually blushing on that one. I don't know why.
No. As you should not. That's great. Great stuff. Where were we?
We were talking about testing our soil as our lineage.
Oh, yeah. And look, go Werner Turf. Like I say, they've got a little kit. I think it comes in a little folder, and you do all the things they tell you to do, but it will tell you what you need. But that's a great way to do it. The Extension Service will do it. They send it off also. But if you live, you know, in the city of Pensacola, you probably know Werner. You probably have done business with them. They have some great plants. Have a lot of songs.
Another great place to go.
Yeah, it's a good place. So in any event, that's what I would do.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, we do have a call coming in to the Garden Line here at News Radio 92.3. It's 9:53. Let me go ahead and check. Good morning. Who am I? Is this Nathan from Navarre?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Nathan. What's your question?
Yes. Hi. So I've called in a few times, and we finally got all of our zoysia grass in. We moved a palm tree from one location to another. And that palm tree has those, I guess it's like a sticker kind of plant that's actually in the palm fronds that are now near the base of it where they've been cut off already. How do you get rid of those? Can I just spray a weed killer to spray those, or is that going to kill the palm tree as well?
No. Don't do that. Don't get any herbicide near that tree. Remember we talked a little while ago about plant shock, about moving a plant from point A to point B, and sometimes you can have problems because you don't, when you're moving a plant, you don't get as much of the root system as was in the place where it started, and so you can have some shock on that plant. Weed killer would be the ultimate shock. I really would not do that. I don't really think I wouldn't worry too much about the stickers, quite frankly. I would worry about keeping that plant healthy and let it acclimate to that new spot where you have it. That would be my best advice at this point.
Okay, so just let them just keep pruning them back. And
yes,
them
yeah, exactly. Grow. Oh yeah, you can do that for sure. But I don't think you need to. I know you don't need to do any spraying of an herbicide, if you will, on that tree because I think you could do grave damage. Don't do it.
Okay, yeah, those things are just really annoying, obviously.
They
look like they don't belong, and they're just annoying when I go to pull them. They just break off, they don't really actually go anywhere.
Just kind of manual labor is what you're going to have to do. And, Nathan, I want to say one thing to you. You've called us numerous times. I just want to thank you for listening to the Garden Line and calling us. We really appreciate it. All the way from Navarre, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Nathan. Good to hear from you, and best of luck with that palm tree. I know exactly what he's talking about. Sometimes you got to dig it out a little bit with your hand.
Exactly.
It's some dirty work. Wear really good gloves. I will say that. Sometimes it can be an irritant when you work out there. 9:55. Hopefully we got to all of our questions this morning. Thank you for texting in. Got to take another quick break before we wrap things up here on the Garden Line.
How I wish I was an armadillo. On Highway 40 west of Amarillo, dodging cars and eating bugs until I see the morning sun.
There you go. That's my gift to you today.
I am kind of speechless.
I've been just waiting to play that song.
I know it. We've never played that song. That is great. And I'm sure some of the people who are listening to us today who maybe are first-time listeners or haven't listen to us that much. Have no clue what we're talking about with the arm.
They are your frenemies.
Exactly.
They eat the bugs, but sometimes they annoy you. And they've just been a longtime friend here at the Garden Line.
Exactly. And we've always said they hitchhike their way from Texas on some of these trucks. They jump off on I-10 and really, you see them more up north of I-10 than you do south of I-10.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they head north when they jump off that truck. But,
I'll tell you.
But I had one, you know, I live in the city. I had one walk through my flower bed one time. Who knows?
They'll scare the life out of you, that's for sure.
They're ugly devils. No,
well, I have to say, though, Mike, thank you for letting me crash the garden line this morning.
Oh, Jenna, it's been so much fun. Thanks for being here. You are amazing.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Mike will be next week at here on the Garden Line at 9 a.m. So don't forget to text in, and we've got more coming up next.